Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, your host. We've got a great show lined up, so let's get started. And this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 139. It's the week of September 30th, 2011, and this is Ashlyn Dave. I'd like to thank you for downloading the show. This is a bi-weekly podcast about pretty much all things running, endurance-related running, marathons, half-marathons, some ultra-marathons. And what I do in the show is I share my thoughts about my experiences and then share the experiences of others who send me emails. This week's show is I'm gonna talk about another theme from Star Trek: The Next Generation and how that applies to running. And don't worry, I won't do that every week. And then I'm gonna talk a little bit about Runner's World and how they show through a little respect to the sub 5 hour marathoner, which was very appreciative in the October 2011 issue. I'll mention that. Talk a little bit about the run walk method and how it works for me in ultra long runs. A little bit about the Buffalo Bills football team, how long running is liberating, and I'll mention a few thoughts about my trip to Dallas, which I took last week for a couple days. A friend of mine got married. And then, of course, we'll hit the email bag section of the show where several people checked in. Quote, "If you travel far enough, you will eventually meet yourself," unquote. Jean-Luc Picard, Season 2, Episode 13, Star Trek Next Generation. If you listen to a previous show, you may remember that what I like to do is I like to write down quotes when I hear somebody say something, like on TV or in a movie or something, that I can use for inspiration. Whether it's for running or anything else in my life. And it really doesn't matter what kind of show those quotes might come from, because I like to change them around and apply them to different things. And in this case, I'm going to switch the word travel to run. So if you run far enough, you'll eventually meet yourself. And I'm going to share a little bit about how that applies to me with, I guess, three of the ultras that I did since I started marathoning back in 2006. Before 2006, I was always a long-distance runner, just not, you know, half marathon length. It was, you know, 10K was the longest I had ever. The 10K was the longest I'd ever done in a race, but I had done 12 mile. I once did a 12 mile run for the Special Olympics and through Chesterfield County, and which is south of Richmond, and that was several years ago. I remember. I think I trained up to 10 miles for that, and that's usually done in June. Extremely hot and done on pavement with the road, and like they close one lane off for all the runners. But I'm kind of getting off on a tangent there. So if you run far enough, you'll eventually meet yourself. Well, I've met myself a couple times out there on the road. The first time it was the Sterling Gym 40 miler, which I did in May of 2009. I ran that to celebrate turning 40. It's a 40-mile run through the mountains of Tennessee, and that's pretty brutal. One point when I had passed the 50K mark, which was the farthest up to that point I had ever run, I got into a very, very low pit mentally. And you know, I'd gone pretty far, and I was totally by myself out there that day. I had been running with my friend Tom, and we got split up, but he was having a much better day. And just to give an example, I actually hit a physical and mental wall around mile 15 that day. I don't know how that happened. And ultras past the marathon distance, at least in my experience, I found that there's actually sometimes two barriers that you have to break through. That one physical barrier, and then there's another barrier that comes up, or a wall, or whatever you want to call it. But on this particular day, which was in May of 2009, I had nobody was going to help me but myself, and I felt like I had gotten stripped down to just the core Dave. You know, what are you made of for this day? I mean, how tough are you gonna give up, or are you gonna keep going? And because there's always that option to give up and just stop and wait for somebody to come pick you up. So if you run far enough, you're eventually gonna meet yourself. Well, on that particular day, I ran over 40 miles because it was, if you've listened to the show, you've heard this story before. The route had to be detoured because of flooding. The whole first couple hours of the race was just pouring down rain. Started in the rain, then the sun came out later, and it got, you know, really humid. But what had happened was the rivers had flooded, and they had actually flooded over a bridge. And what had happened was they had to extend the race course, and so it ended up being, I think, 42.6 miles. Anyway, I actually did meet myself that day, and I realized that I am tough enough to do this, and cover this distance. And I might have to walk for a little bit, but I am gonna finish, and I'm not gonna come in last place. And so on that particular day, I found out that I can run 40 plus miles, and that was actually the day I decided that I knew I could do a 50 miler because I was still upright at the end of 42.6. So that brings me to my first 50 miler that I did, which was the hardest thing I have ever done because of the condition of my feet. This was the North Face Endurance Challenge up in Northern Virginia, and this was in 2010. Last June, I think it was. I had a major maceration of the balls of my feet on this particular day, and what I realized on this day, and Dr. Smitty was my, I'm going to put the word pacer in quotes, because he was pacing me on the walking. he made sure I made the cutoff, and he kept me going, and you know, neither one of us knew the condition of my feet. I just knew that every step hurt, and it actually hurt more to walk than it did to run. But mentally, I was just so drained and just so the only thing I was really focused on is really the next step. But on that day, I realized that I can experience a serious amount of pain and still continue to move forward. And now, I don't recommend running on feet that have, you know, macerated. Hang on. Yeah, I don't recommend, if you know the condition of your feet is an injury, and it's something that's going to put you out of commission to family and work and other obligations for a couple weeks. To me, that doesn't make any sense to keep going. But I didn't know that my feet looked like that. I just knew that they hurt really bad, and I didn't realize that the skin had broken so bad. But you know, when I thought back and looked at that, what I realized is that my physiological makeup, you know, the combination of my physical ability and my mental ability, can experience a lot of pain and not want to give up. And so I learned that about myself that day. And then the next was the second ultra that I did, second 50 miler that I did in the Florida Keys this past May, I think it was. Yeah, it was a couple months ago. Again, this was a road ultra. What I wanted to do was see if I could cover the 50 miles without my feet splitting open. And what I learned about myself that day was that if I could actually not spend so much time taking care of my feet, I can probably take a good 30 minutes off my time. And what I also learned is that I needed to be a little bit more serious about those really long training runs and focus a little bit more mentally on managing the distance with fluid intake and food intake. Down in Key West, I don't think I was drinking enough water. Even though I was drinking everything I had, what I needed to do was actually run with a larger bottle. And so anyway, I'm kind of rambling a little bit, but I really do believe if you run far enough, you're going to meet yourself and you're going to learn things about yourself. And and things that you can apply to your work or to your family, and certainly marathoning, which is very difficult in itself, especially for us sub-5-hour marathoners who are out there, you know, between 4 and 5 hours, or even those that are out there longer, you know, with that heart rate up. That's a big toll to put on your body, experiencing all that discomfort for such a long period of time. And I think you can apply that to other parts in your life. Something that you think you might not be able to achieve, you can achieve it. And because, you know, who would have thought that they could ever run a marathon who hasn't done it yet? I remember when I was growing up, and I had there was a guy that lived in our neighborhood that used to run the Richmond Newspapers Marathon every year. And I just remember thinking, this guy had huge calves, and I just remember Bill Geisler was his name. He's a friend of my parents, and we were friends with his kids. And I just remember, thinking this guy just had this ability. You know, he's a marathoner. God, you know, that's awesome. You know, he just has this you know, unbelievable ability. It's extraordinary, I never really thought it was attainable for me until I saw my dad run one in 2005, and then of course I ran one the next year, and then have run numerous ones since. And I get satisfaction out of each one that I finish, really regardless of the finishing time. You get your finishing medal, and once again you covered a big chunk of the earth on foot, and that's something significant, and it's rewarding because of all the training that you put in. So. That's just some thoughts on something that Jean-Luc Picard said in Star Trek, and maybe I'll come up with some more Star Trek quotes as time goes on. Well, let me talk a little bit about Runner's World, and this is the October 2011 issue, and I've always wondered why magazines come out so early. Just doesn't make any sense to me. So let's go to page, this is going to be page 62 of the October 2011 issue. And as I record this podcast, it's not even October yet. I always get a kick out of how magazines send out their edition before the, into the future. I've always thought that was interesting. Well, this issue has stories of three chefs who, and some, one or all of them are contributing editors or contributing, they contribute ideas to Runner's World, and just about food that helps for running, and it's about three of them, and they're all in the 4-hour plus group. Now, you might remember in previous shows, I had complained, I think it was called the sub-5-hour marathoner. I actually complained in my podcast, just to whoever would listen, that I didn't think the sub-5-hour marathoner got any respect in running publications. And that I think that holds true for the most part, mainly because people who run, between 4 and 5 hours are not necessarily competitive with the people that win, obviously. You know, we're not running to win. I've never won anything in my life. I'll never win a race. I might place in my age group if I, gain some weight and go in the Clydesdale division. But so I was very pleased to see this. And the way I get Runner's World is I get it through hand-me-down issues. I've got my friend Tom, who provides me with issues when he's done with them, which is very nice. And Tom, if you're listening to this, I need to... I got some magazines for you. I subscribe to Marathon and Beyond, which is a bi-monthly magazine, which is pretty good. And I've got some issues to give to you. Anyhow, I get these episodes from Tom, or these issues from Tom, sometimes from my dad. And so I do appreciate that. So I have not subscribed to the magazine. I subscribe. I'm lucky when people give me issues. And anyway, this issue that I got, the October 2011 issue, is about three people. One, Pam Anderson, Art Smith, and Jazeen Bullock Prado. Now, if you get Runner's World, first of all, I'm going to comment on this a little bit. You got to take a look at the lady on page 62. She is the one in the middle, and she is 54 years old. And according to the caption, the women on either side of her are her daughters. And I don't know about you, but the three of those people look like they're all sisters. And she's a 4:31 marathoner, which is slower than my PR. So I actually feel like, you know, hey, I'm going to read what this lady has to say because she's just like me. So I got respect for that, you know? And then you read through the article and you realize that she's run 4:37 before. Hey, that's what I do. Art Smith, he's a 4:22 marathoner. He was heavy, had type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, regular guy, you know. He ran 4:32 in Chicago in 2010. His PR is 4:22, which is, he ran that in the Marine Corps, I'm guessing, in 2010. You know, again, another regular guy. Somebody that you can read about. He obviously has a regular job. Runs a marathon and the regular Joe finishing time, and that's something that I'm interested in reading about. Now, the third lady, she's got a 4:15 PR, which means that she could probably run closer to 4 hours. She's actually Sandra Bullock's sister, and I thought that was pretty cool. So, anyway, check that out. It's the articles are interesting. Runner's World's a decent magazine. I don't like how it seems to be always slanted towards the sub-4-hour, sub-3-hour marathoner. And I know they have to make it interesting for people who are competitive like that. But there are thousands and thousands of people who are never going to run under 4 hours in the marathon, yet they like to read about marathoning, and they consider themselves marathoners like I do. Now, does that mean you have to run the whole way? You know, let's talk about that. I'm going to segue into my next topic, which is the run-walk method, which is something I do now, and I plan to do for probably every distance past the half marathon mark that I do. And the reason for that is because not only does it save my knees, but I feel like I'm actually a more efficient runner, especially towards the end. When I ran the Patrick Henry half marathon several weeks back, week before Labor Day, you know, I was passing people left and right at the end that were struggling, and I wouldn't say I felt completely fresh at the end, but I would say I probably had negative splits in that race, and the reason I couldn't do it is I had my Garmin to set the beep 7 and 2. What did I do? 8 and 2, something like that. And so when it does that, it doesn't record the splits for the miles, which is really disappointing. Maybe somebody out there knows how to do that. I don't know how to do it. That's the only thing that's disappointing. But I think I actually probably ran negative splits in that race. The run walk method for me was something I started doing when I planned to run my first ultra, which was the Swinging Bridge 50K back in, January of 2009 is when I ran that with my friend Tom. And the idea there was to walk the hills and run everything else as much as possible. Well, I had a real hard time that day, and I ended up doing a lot more walking, but we did get kind of on a run-walk interval, and I did like it. And then I also did it at the Sterling Gym 40-miler. I did it at North Face 50-miler, and I did it down in Key West and in the Florida Keys. I've also done it during the Lower Potomac River Marathon, which is my marathon personal record at 4 hours 17 minutes 37 seconds, where I ran 25 minutes, walked 5. And what that walking did for me was to recharge me for the next run segment. And I used to think that it's an even effort is what you want to apply during your distance running. You know, apply an even effort. But I actually think that the faster, slower interval seemed to work better for me. Not to mention the mental break I got from knowing that I did not have to keep those running muscles flexed with a running stride for 4+ hours. Because I have never run a whole marathon, and very few people can actually run for 4.5 hours without stopping whatsoever. Not even at water stops, not even to go to the bathroom. I don't even know if anybody who can actually run for 4.5 hours without stopping whatsoever. I mean, none. Most people who run that type of marathon distance will do some walking at some point, whether it's through water stops, take a break in the middle of the race, walk towards the end during the death march time between 20 and 26.2. So what I've done, and I've said this over before in the podcast, I take that walk time and do it on at my schedule, not when I'm exhausted. And it's worked. And I plan to do that in the Richmond Marathon in November. And what that's going to be is I'm going to attempt to do a run-walk method that, if it's successful on marathon day, I will apply that to a 100K race I want to sign up for in March of 2012. So we'll see how it all plays out as time goes on. I like the run-walk method. I agree, it did take me a little bit to get past the whole idea of walking at the very beginning of a race. But I'm at the point now where I really don't even care what other people think or say when I'm out there. They used to bother me. Matter of fact, when I ran my marathon PR, I remember on the first part of the course, after I took my 5-minute walk break, after just two and a half miles or so, people were I remember thinking, God, people are going to think that I can't make it. Well, you know what? I don't care about that anymore. I just go to the side, you know, raise my hand, courteous to other runners, don't get in their way, and everybody run their own race. Don't worry about what I'm doing. All right. Let's talk about the Buffalo Bills for a minute. That is something I've never mentioned before on my podcast. Okay, let's talk about the Buffalo Bills for a minute. This is not a podcast about the National Football League, and I don't talk about football on this podcast, but I got to mention the Buffalo Bills. I've been a Buffalo Bills fan since I was 8 years old. I lived in Buffalo for 1 year when I was in third grade, and that's when I discovered pro football, and that's where I lived, and that's the team that I clung on to. And boy, when I was in college, we had some exciting times in the Super Bowl. Still can't believe that it's just not possible to lose 4 Super Bowls in a row. However, it happened. Buffalo's the only team that's ever happened to. But boy, isn't it nice now? Any Buffalo Bills fans out there? Hey, I mean, isn't it nice to have some attention on your team instead of being a joke? Yeah, we're 3-0 when I'm putting this podcast out, beat New England. Wow. What can I say? The reason I mention that is if there's any Buffalo Bills fans out there that listen to the podcast, that makes you extra special. In my book, email me at ashlanddave@gmail.com, and we'll have a little chuckle about it. So, anyway, go Bills. And the new slogan now is circling the wagons, according to Chris Berman on ESPN. Before I wrap up the show, before we get to the email bag section of the show, I just wanted to make a mention of somebody the other day asked me at work why. They said, "You must really like running." And I said, it's liberating to me. It's when I do real long runs, like I'm going to do a real long run this Saturday. I'm hoping to do 15 miles. There's really nothing else on my mind in those late miles of a long run than running. And so what it does, in my life, okay, it liberates my brain from all other thoughts, whether there's problems I'm dealing with at work or at home or things I'm worried about or things I'm happy about. It actually just kind of blanks out everything, and I feel liberated. But I can't do that on a 3-mile run. 3-mile run, I'm still thinking about work. 5-mile run, I'm still thinking about work or home. I'm not out there long enough to kind of, for all that stuff to kind of trail off. 15-miler would definitely do that. I would say a 10-miler would definitely do that. That's what I think. I like the long running because it's liberating, and it's total freedom from thought. Not that my thoughts are bad, but sometimes you just need to be liberated from all thinking and just focus on what's happening next. And I'll leave it at that. Went to Dallas last weekend for a friend's wedding. A childhood friend of mine who moved down to Dallas a couple of years ago, got remarried, and I was in his wedding. I hadn't worn a tux and tuxedo in several years. The pictures look great. He and his fiance and his wife, they look great. It was a great time. But I did not go to bed before 2:30 a.m. for two nights in a row, Friday night and Saturday night, and that just killed me. I've been dragging all this week, haven't run at all. Right now, I'm recording the show. It's Thursday, and I don't even feel like running today. I don't know. We'll have to see. But there's a thing that I observed in the airport. I spent a lot of time in the airport. I had to kill a couple hours before I flew back on Sunday. Now, I must be missing a whole another dimension of existing because I don't have a smartphone. And there must be some other total level of consciousness that I am missing out on because I am not tapping on a small device the whole time I'm walking or sitting. It's unbelievable what I saw. I was sitting in the Dallas airport, which is pretty darn big. And being that I'm a sociologist, I guess, by training, by profession somewhat, I decided just to kind of watch people. And everybody's on their darn smartphone or their Droid or whatever you call it, tapping away at it, looking at it, you know, constantly looking at it, pulling it in and out of their pocket and checking it. I must be missing something. I've got a Verizon phone that opens up so I can text on it, so I can text my wife. And my fingers are practically too big to text on it, so I kind of limit that. I don't want to have the internet in my pocket because I don't want my internet experience to be on such a small screen, if that makes any sense. I don't want to constantly have something connected to the internet while I'm constantly checking my emails. I don't want to be connected that much to anything. In fact, I kind of want to be disconnected. Like Facebook, okay? I've got a Facebook page for me, and but it's mainly as a conduit for Team Incognito contact on our private team page. We have a group page. I don't use Facebook to communicate with people because the only time I can get on Facebook, and it's not that I'm against it, I'm not. Matter of fact, I have communicated with some people on it. It's just that the only time I can really be on it is maybe at home when I get home from work at night. And at that point in time, I'm not really interested in getting on the Facebook as much because I've got to do my podcast. So otherwise, I guess I would have a Facebook. You know, I was thinking about actually getting a Facebook page for the podcast. You know, that's not a bad idea. What do you think about that? Email me at ashlanddave@gmail.com. If you have any comments on that, that'd be a real easy way for me to get to do the email bag section of the show. Well, anyway, okay, that's Dallas. I just saw lots, and I know the Dallas airport's like any other airport, just tons of people on their computers, and there's some really large devices now that people are clipping to their belt. I mean, you might as well just put, you know, hang your laptop. And this iPad is unbelievable. I mean, that's just, that whole technology is just completely unbelievable. Well, let's get into the email bag section of the show. I do have several emails, and let me hit on these. Heard from Sean out of Paso Robles, California, and he discovered Running in the Center of the Universe a few months ago. Really enjoys the show. He's a late bloomer, back of the pack kind of guy, so he can definitely relate. He's 53 now. He's done 3 marathons, Big Sur twice, and Death Valley once, a few halves. And he likes my podcast because it's motivational. So, Sean, thank you very much. I really do appreciate that. He and I had a little discussion about the Big Sur marathon because I do subscribe to a magazine called Marathon and Beyond, and the magazine has pictures from that marathon. It just looks like it's unbelievable. And what he did is Sean put a video, or sent me a link to a video he put on YouTube about the race. And it seemed to me it seemed to be kind of like it had a small town feel to it. And I thought that was really cool. So maybe someday, Sean, I'll get out that way. You know, we'll see. I have made it as far as Dallas, and I was born in California. Richard from the Woodlands, Texas. Original listener. Thanks for including that in your email, Rich. I do appreciate that. He's got his training is going in fits and starts. He struggles during the week. He's not getting all his, he's doing the long runs on the weekend. Hard to get him on during the week. Got 12 miles in last week. Very hot down there, he says. But he's not running a marathon until March. And is that the Austin Marathon, Richard? I can't remember if that's the one that you're doing or not. So, yeah, you did. You are one of the original listeners. And Richard told me he heard about my podcast from another one that's since been discontinued called Confessions of a Runner. And a lady named Jody did that. And that was a pretty good podcast. Yeah, Richard, I agree. Wonder what happened. I wonder if she's still running. I think she ran in Mississippi was where she ran. And she had a pretty good podcast. You know, it's probably happened. I think she probably got married and... or, you know, she was real busy with work or so. I think she already was married. But she did have a good podcast, and at the time it was only one of one that was a female podcaster when this was 3 years ago. Anyway, Richard, thanks for the email. Really do appreciate it. I also heard from Israel. Israel is a, kind of an extreme ultra runner, and he gave me a summary of a race that he had done through the Alps, but I did not catch, Israel, what the name of the race was in the email. Anyway, he says that he did 175 miles in 8 days for this a race that went through the Alps. He was struggling big time on day two, going over two mountain ranges, covering 34 miles, and then combining for 23 more. Thousands of feet in elevation changed. Used duct tape on his feet because coming down the mountains was tearing his feet up. He had duct tape and it lasted in the rain. Then he switched over to something called KT tape. And the KT tape is the stuff that you see on people's calves or their shoulder or on their elbow. And apparently it doesn't slip at all and causes no friction whatsoever, according to Israel. And Israel, I'm gonna check into that, because if that doesn't come off, and you had no blisters at all after 8 days running like that, that is probably something I need to look into. So I appreciate the link on that, and I appreciate all the details from your race. If you will you email me the name of that race? I did not see it in your email anywhere, and because I want to tell the listeners what that was. So thanks for the email, and if you want to learn more about Israel, you can go to his website at IsraelTheRunner.com. That's ISRAEL, and Israel is an American living in England. So, and he likes the podcast. So, you know, I got this guy who's an extreme ultra runner, who thinks running in the center of the universe is a decent podcast. So anyway, Israel, he's checked in before. So Israel, really do appreciate the email and you taking the time to tell me about what you've been up to, because it's nice to hear about that. It really is. And you can also check him out at facebook.com/IsraelTheRunner. Heard from Dave. Dave is going to finance, out of Mechanicsville, is going to actually finance my Richmond Marathon experience. So Dave, I appreciate that a lot. He's considering that a donation to the podcast. And the last but not least thing that I want to share is actually Sandy's race report from the Hallucination 100. If you listened to the last week's show, you'll know that unfortunately she was not able to finish the 100 miler because of conditions. However, she did get credit for being a 50 mile finisher, so she was in those race results, which I looked up. So anyway, I'm gonna just read this and kind of summarize it, because I think it's pretty good. And let me mention something first, though. There's another podcast called 100 Mile Ultra Running, and a guy that does that, his name is Trail Slammer. And one of his previous last, and I like his show. He only does one about one a month, but it's pretty good. It's usually a lot longer than mine, and he's obviously he's run a lot of 100. I think he's run 500 milers, maybe more than that. Anyway, he came in second place in the Hallucination 100. So somehow he was able to finish and come in second place. So now everybody's going to know his name. Anyway, so here's Sandy, thanks for the picture of the barbershop in Pennsylvania. That was really cool. Okay, this is Sandy's report from the Hallucination 100, and I'm going to kind of read it. Well, the race didn't go as planned. The rain finally stopped for the start of the race, but that only lasted a few hours. The rain started up, and the course went from bad to worse. The first lap was pretty decent with one really bad muddy spot. The second lap was downright miserable, and my third loop was the worst. I was joined by Dave, the best pacer ever, Not me. Some other day. He really got me through that last lap. I felt okay, but had a hard time running in all that mud and muck. At some points, the mud was up to my calves. It was so hard to pull your foot out of the mud without losing your shoe. I had a trekking pole, but at one point, the mud was so thick that it pulled the bottom third of the hiking pole off, and I was left with a stub of a pole to use. The rain did not stop through the night, and it turned the mud into boggy lakes that were almost impassable. To make matters worse, I battled some stomach issues for a few miles, and then at mile 46, all the Fig Newtons came up. Anyway, I got to the end of the third lap, made the 50-mile cutoff. It was pretty close, only a few minutes to spare. At that point, I knew I wouldn't be able to make the time limits if I continued on, and I was concerned for my pacer safety and my own in the bad conditions. I would have had a hard time forgiving myself if my pacer got injured because I was so selfish. Looking back, it was the right decision. I felt physically that I could have gone on. In fact, I ran 4 miles yesterday, felt fine. I felt way better than after my first 50-miler. I wish there was another local 100 I could redeem myself at. I'm going to do a few local half marathons for some training. I signed up for the Top of Michigan 100, which is a race from Gaylord to Mackinac City. Sounded like a chance to break the 50-mile mark better than nothing. Anyway, I was glad to get another 50-mile finish under my belt, but a buckle for a 100-miler would have felt a lot better. And not much I can do about the conditions of the course. 75 registered for the 100, 69 started, only 24 finished. That says a lot. A third of the 69 that started quit the race before they even got a medal for the 50K or 50-miler, so I'm happy with what I did, and I will live to race another day. Thanks for the podcast and inspiration. I love listening to the show while I train. Keep in touch. Well, Sandy, gosh, that's like my whole philosophy right there in that race summary. You know, if you're not getting anything out of the experience, you know, you can do that another day. I do that with books. If I'm reading a book for pleasure and I'm not liking the book, I'm not going to finish reading the book. Now, I did make myself suffer through the biographies of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. I just felt like as an American, I should read those books. They were awful. You know, good Americans, but, you know, and interesting stories, but just not, you know, not real exciting lives, not even in wartime for George Washington, at least the way the books were written. But I do that with books. You know what? Just, you know, pick another race, one that you can, where you can showcase your talent to yourself. You know, if you're running through mud and you know that you're not running to your ability because of the conditions, find another race. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. I mean, that's kind of extreme conditions. If, you know, if the race was billed as a mud run, well, then, yeah, you know, you got to run in the mud. But it wasn't billed that way. And Frank, I think you made the right decision, and I do appreciate you taking the time to be so specific with your race report. You might also hear that race report over on Dirt Dogs Podcast, because I know Sandy listens and writes into his show. And if you haven't checked out Dirt Dogs Podcast, make sure you do that at Dirt Dogs Running Diatribe. .blogspot.com or .podbean.com, something like that. Just look up Dirt Dog, D-A-W-G, and I'm sure his podcast will come up if you search on that. It's a good show. Well, that's it for the email bag section of the show, and that's it for this week. I'll have another podcast out in 2 weeks, and I'm going to be... I don't know what the topic is, open topic at this point. But if you want to comment on the show, you can always do that at ashanddave@gmail.com, or you can do it through iTunes and leaving a review. I prefer the email because it's easier for me to collect those and print them out for when I do the email bag section of the show. All right, well, this is Ashland Dave, and I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running, and don't forget to hug your kids. Y'all have a good week.